You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Got any brights yet? I do.
Just like that little critter told me down by the cold creek. It don't matter if your poles are dusty. Beer in the tackle box out on the flare out. Baiting that hook with only the right look. Lure in the sunshine. Ripples in the sweet tide. Rubber's going out of sight. Even if it tastes all night. Ooh, I'm gonna catch me a winner. Cause I kinda like a bit.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome back to Real Talk. This is Captain Debbie Hansen. I'm in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Greg Stamper of Snook Stamp Charters. And we are rolling into the 8 a.m. hour of Real Talk. We got some text messages rolling in on the text line. We got a text from our good friend, Bob. And he says, sorry to miss your show today. Gone fishing, actually gone catching for largemouth bass in Michigan. Thanks to you for all the great tips and techniques.
Green pickles.
Green pickles.
Yeah, isn't that what a largemouth bass is? Big green pickle.
It's a ditch pickle.
Ditch pickle.
Pickle. Yeah. And then we got a text. Good morning, Captain Debbie. Bradley has been busy working. I'm assuming this is from Bradley's mom, Jamie. She says, good morning, Captain Debbie. Bradley has been busy working, which he loves. He fits right in, and this is at Estero River Outfitters.
Maybe that's his new
gig. And finishing out the school year, he's fishing a tournament today. Hopefully he can call in next weekend with an update.
Cool.
Wishing him tight lines today and always. Well, thank you for checking in, Jamie. And yes, Bradley, congrats on his new job, and hopefully he does really well today. Can't wait for the update next weekend, hopefully.
Yep.
Our good friend Jerry Toporek checking in from the Project Healing Waters Fish with a Hero program. And then we got Tony Toe checking in, asking about a recommendation for a good beginner setup to take advantage of most areas here in Southwest Florida. And that kind of depends, Tony Toe, on your on whether or not you're fishing freshwater or if you're fishing saltwater. But as far as a good all-around spinning setup for saltwater, a medium-heavy 6'6", 7-foot rod paired with a 3,000 to 4,000 reel is probably going to be your best bet. Go see Dave at Lear's Economy Tackle.
Put 10 or 15 pound braid on it, and you can do about anything you want around here.
Yep. All right. And speaking of rods and reels and tackle and Dave, he's on line one. So we're going to hop on over to line one right now. Yeah, good morning, Dave.
That was a really good recommendation as far as the rods and reels go and your line test. I mean, folks, folks tend to over-test everything they buy. And we have a really, really hard time with particularly the younger folks when they come in here. They'll buy a 3,000 or 4,000 size reel. They want to put 30 or 40-pound braid on there, and it's just way, way, way too much. And we try to talk them down because, the rods they've selected are rated, 10 to 17 pound or 8 to 17 pound line rating, and it's just really, really hard. I don't know why people think that they have to have this super heavy line.
I know.
You know where I think it comes from, Dave, honestly, is the bass fishing world. I think a lot of freshwater anglers hear these pro bass guys talking about the heavy braid that they use when they're punching through heavy cover.
Yeah, well,
and they
they're
think,
using broomsticks
right,
with
right,
70,
right.
80 pound
but,
braid.
But a lot of people don't make that connection or think about that. They just hear that these guys are using heavy line and they're fishing for bass, and then they just assume that's what they need to use all the time everywhere, and that's not the case.
Yeah, we had some guys in the past that used to go down to Brazil or Venezuela or Colombia, and they would go on peacock bass fishing, and the outfitters, their recommendation were bait casting reels with 65-pound braid on there. And and practically speaking, every one of them that went down there, and it's not that they didn't catch the fish, but practically every one of them came back with broken rods. There isn't a bait casting reel out there that's castable and really nicely fishable that can handle 65-pound braid. And the line capacity on the bait casting reels, when you're putting that heavy a braid on there, is
minimum.
About 65 yards, yeah. You know, at the most.
And thinking about people, if you're going on a destination trip like that where you're going to be fishing for multiple days in a row, to fish the heavy gear that you would need to fish for a line that heavy, your arm is going to be so, so sore and friggin' tired at the end of that trip.
I got on my
no way.
On my tarpon rods, I only have 30-pound braid, and people can't believe how much heat we can put on a fish with 30-pound. I couldn't imagine if I was using 60 or 70 or 80. That would be like, I don't know, my client might get pulled overboard if I used all that drag.
Yeah.
Well, the folks are really mixed up about what they see on the package and what they see about braid. Just by example, 20-pound braid has the monofilament diameter of 6 pounds. Doesn't mean that it's 6-pound test. It's got the diameter of 6-pound monofilament. 20-pound braid is actually 34-pound test tensile strength. So a properly tied knot using 20-pound braid, you can get, if you really work at it and do it really right, you can get 34 pounds out of that knot. Now, most people on a whole are fairly sloppy knot tiers. And so with braid, and this is true of all braids, whether it be a micron or a dacron or a nylon braid, when you tie a knot in it, if you just tie an overhand knot in it, you lose about 50% of your tensile strength. So a poorly tied knot in braid to monofilament leader material or even to a swivel, you could lose up to 50% of your knot strength, tensile strength, if you don't tie it properly. So there are a lot of times when folks come in here, we go through a knot session with them because it's evident, particularly people that are new to braids, that they're not going to do it right. And so yeah. we'll spend 20 minutes to a half hour with them and going through a little bit of a not sense session with them to make sure, because what I don't want them is coming back and telling me that I sold them bad braid and that the braid rotten. Well, it didn't, you know, they properly tied an improper knot, or they maybe had something wrong with the tip on their rod where it was braiding the braid. And then of course the tensile strength drops dramatically after that. But there's also another point of fishing, as far as I'm concerned, and that's a skill level. And there's something to be able to say, I was using 10 or 15 or 20-pound line, and I caught this big fish, and I played him for 15 minutes. You know, when my boys grew up, we didn't have the braids back in those days. They fished with 6-pound line. And they developed a skill that they learned how to fight a fish.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of folks nowadays really don't. It's all about casting up in the bushes and jerking him out of there and getting him to the boat as quickly as you can. And I understand, I think tournament fishing, that's kind of part of the deal maybe, is getting fish to the boat quickly so your time is recorded, and maybe that means that you got the earliest fish in the tournament. But you know, people way over test. In fact, I had a gentleman in yesterday, and he asked me about jigging rods for offshore, and he happened to walk over to where the slow pitch rods were, and he picked one up, and he said, "Oh, this is really nice." And I said, "Well, it's a slow pitch rod." And he kind of looked at me with a befuddled look in his face, and I said, "You know, there are two types of jigging offshore. There's slow pitch with very, very light lines, mm-hmm. and then there's conventional jigging where you're using a rod that's got 50, 65-pound braid on it, and it's a lot heavier rods." And we looked at the two different rods, and I was telling him that over on this coast, when you're fishing over here, jigging over here, you can use 30-pound braid and do very well at it. And he was talking about 65-pound braid on a rod that he thought he wanted to use. And I told him about Ricky on the other coast fishing in 600 to 900 foot of water with 15-pound braid, and in some extreme cases when the Gulf Stream is really roaring over there, he's down to 10-pound braid.
Yep.
Yeah.
And catching big fish. And there's a skill level, you know, that has to come into this anyway.
Yeah, and Dave, you were talking a little bit about tying, not, you know, the knots that you're tying with braid and learning how to tie a proper knot. So for folks who are listening, do you have any recommendations for a line-to-line knot? So for when you're tying your braid to your fluorocarbon leader material, what is your recommended knot, or what knot do you like to use?
Well, what we generally do, and maybe folks have to understand this, or maybe they won't understand it. I said that the tensile strength of 20-pound test is 34 pounds, and so we're just going to use 20-pound as an example. And we tie a bimini twist that puts a fairly large loop in the braid, and then we tie what we call a reverse Albright knot.
Mm-hmm.
From braid to either mono or braid to fluorocarbon, and that makes a very, very small knot. Now, the reasoning behind doing the bimini twist in that line to double it up is where the bimini twist knot is, that is the tensile strength area right there. That's 34-pound test where that line, doubled line knot is. So when you take the end of the doubled line and tie it to the monofilament, technically the weakest spot in the whole system should be at the bimini twist knot. That's where it should be the weakest spot, and that's where the line should break. The line should not break in the double line, and the line should not break in the leader system. And it's kind of a complex knot. It's like most good knots nowadays. They're very intricate. But I think, you know, when particularly Mike Smith or myself or Dan are doing it with people, we go at it fairly slowly so they can see how we do it. We do it for them a couple of times. Then we have them do it themselves before they leave. And there are some people that leave here and they still can't do it.
Yeah, I mean, it takes a little getting used to.
They just don't understand it, you know.
And there's tons of videos online that walk you through that. I mean, then there's also knots like the Alberto knot, which was devised by our good friend Crazy Alberto Knee, and then the FG knot. So there are a lot of options out there in terms of knots that you can practice tying for braid to fluorocarbon.
On the internet and doing that and doing it while you're watching it on the screen, and then, you know, if you're going to go watch TV or something, take some line and some leader material and sit there and tie knots so that you're really, really familiar with it. Because the last thing you need to do on a boat is be fumbling around.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a knot.
Perfect thing to practice on a rainy summer afternoon in Florida.
Yeah. I don't recommend doing a bimini twist or a spider hitch out in the ocean when it's 4-footers. That would not be your first time doing it. Don't do it then.
No.
Doing knots are not the. You want to have to be able to do the least that you need to do when you're out on the water. But anyway, that's just what we do here. You know, and there are other just really good knots. We just happen to be secure in doing that, and it is a small knot. Other people can do a double
uni
knot, and
uni,
that's
uni.
Fine. But your mass of knot is twice what it could be if you did it a little bit different way, because you got two of the same kind of knot there. It's but anyway, whatever people are more comfortable with. And I have people come in here and they tie knots that I never saw before, and they say, well, you know, is this a good knot? And I guess my answer to them is
does it work?
Are you confident in it?
Yeah. Does it work?
Work for you?
Yeah.
And if it does, don't.
There you go. Yeah.
You know, don't change.
Yeah,
just
but
keep doing
I mean,
doing.
I just use the double uni because for me in freshwater, I mean, but it's a different story when you need to cast that knot through the guides,
yeah.
Then you need a slimmer profile.
Well, that's,
knot.
Dave made a good point when he was talking about the reverse Albright because that's a good knot that can slide through, coming through your, and then so you have a bimini twist at the front that slides through your guides, no problem at all. Then you got the reverse Albright that slides through your guides, no problem at all. Now, if you're fishing and you don't need more than 2 or 3 feet a leader, well, that's never going to be an issue having to cast that. You can do a lot of different knots. The blood knot is solid. But you don't want something like that would roll through the guides. Dave gave great examples of knots that you could literally put 15 foot a leader on there and not have a problem casting. Is that correct, mm-hmm. Dave?
Yes. I mean, and again, this that particular knot system that I talked about, they're using the Bimini and the reverse Albright, is something that, unless something really bad happens, it should last you all day.
Yeah.
I mean, you shouldn't have a problem breaking off to where you end up having to retie that out there. But, you know, Mike Smith did it on the boat, and he was real adept at doing it. And the more you do any kind of knot,
yeah,
the better you're going to get at
it.
You
can tie it in
the faster you're going to be able to tie it.
The easier it's going to be for you, you know. And whatever you're comfortable with, it's fine. If you're having problems, then you need to come into your local shop, whether it's us or Master Bait or somebody else that is down south down there. Go in there and talk to them about it and find out, you know, if they can help you out. Because that's what we're here. Obviously, we're here to sell stuff, but we're also here to help the angler have a better experience when he's out on the water. We don't want people not having a good time out there. It's all about being relaxed and having a good time.
Yeah, definitely. Well, good info, Dave. Thanks for sharing. It's actually that time already.
Dang.
I know.
I don't have a joke, so I mean, so I don't want
what?
You to get started.
Dave. Well, next week you'll have two for us then, right?
Oh, boy.
Next week, maybe.
Careful what you ask for.
Rick will tell you to him. I tell him to him on the intro when he calls. And sometimes they're good and sometimes they're not.
All right. Well, we'll pin Rick down after the show. All right, Dave. Well, thank you so much, and we'll catch up with you next Saturday.
Later, Dave.
Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That is Dave Westra with Lear's Economy Tackle. If they don't have it, you don't need it. You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida at ESPNSWFL.com and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app, presented by Sportsman's Wholesale, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the Twisted Fork. We'll be back.
This land is your land. This land is my land.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
Good morning. Good morning. Welcome back to Real Talk. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my guest co-host, Captain Greg Stamper of Snook Stamp Charters. Phone and text lines are open, 239-337, ESPN, 239-337-3776. Love that. In excess going on there, Rick.
Yep, that's them.
That's taking it back. Michael Hutchins.
Yeah, it was,
he actually had a little bit of a solo career, didn't he, Rick? Didn't he put out one album on his own after In Excess?
He did.
Yeah.
Before he tragically took his own life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was tragic.
Yeah.
Because what talent?
Yes.
All right. On to brighter subjects.
Yeah. So, you know, we wanted to ask you, the Everblades are crushing it right now.
Hey, give us the update on that, because I'm a little out of the loop.
Game one of the Kelly Cup Finals is tonight.
Nice.
In fact.
Okay. Tonight.
Tonight. So they beat the Newfoundland Growlers in the Eastern Conference.
The Growlers.
Okay. And now they're on to face the Idaho Steelheads from the West.
Ah, Steelheads.
Right.
And so now the Idaho Steelheads were what they call the President's Cup, meaning they had the best regular season record of the entire league. So they're good.
They're good.
Okay. So the first two games are in Idaho. So game one is tonight. Doesn't start until 9 o'clock here because it's 7 o'clock.
Two hours behind.
Right. The time difference.
But we will have the game tonight. Pre-game will start about 8:50 tonight, and the puck drops about 9:05.
And then the airwaves go completely blank because you're asleep.
Oh, come on, Greg. What are you implying here? Well, if it happens, now you know. No, I've never.
If it starts at 9, it's over with at what, midnight?
About 11:30-ish. Yeah, okay. Yeah, probably. So,
what if it's one of those triple overtimes?
I got a nice pot of coffee down the hall. I'll be good.
Good.
So then
good.
If they do well tonight.
It's best of 7.
It's a best of 7. So the first two, and then game two is in Idaho tomorrow afternoon, which 4 o'clock there, so about 6 o'clock here.
Not as bad.
Then they'll come back home for the middle three games on Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday of next week.
Oh, they do 2-3-2?
2-3-2 format. Yeah, because of the travel, you know. So.
Right. Gotcha. Do you think there will be tickets available to those games? Or is it pretty tough at this point to get tickets?
No, I think they're available now, but I think that they'll certainly sell out before the games.
I'm sure they will.
The first game is, again, not till Wednesday. But yeah, they'll sell out for sure.
So they play
Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday. Okay. Yes, those are the three home games. And you know, think about it. If they could wrap the series up at home, but they'd have to win 4 out of 5. You know what I'm saying?
Well, and they need to pick one up while they're gone.
At least they need to pick up at least one out there. So.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yep.
Wow, that'd be back to back years if they did.
Let's go Blades!
Yeah, go Blades!
Let's go Blades!
With the cowbell.
Yeah, I lost my cowbell.
We used to have one of those in here. I'm kind of glad we don't anymore.
We had one.
Oh, come on, Rick. You can always use more cowbell.
Oh, God. Those things were so loud. Those things are so loud.
Oh, my goodness.
Yep.
So we got a couple more texts rolling in here that I want to get to. So it looks like Rock sent in a text. He said, with all the fishing piers destroyed in Cape Coral, do you know if the El Jobin Pier is back open? It looks like it is. I would head to the Charlotte County website. There's a number there I would call before you go up, but it looks like it is actually open. And then of course, you know, Gator Tom is checking in and letting us know he has begun the countdown to 9:15.
You didn't get home last night till like
I know
11
I did I did useless information literally like in the final few minutes before
she left what was it, Cujo?
Yeah, it was after 5 o'clock.
And I'm
say
like, you're not
going to
be
5:30.
Home until 10:30 at night. And she rolled in, and she still stayed up after. I guess she did. I was asleep.
Well, she's dedicated to useless information, Greg. You know that.
So it was. I'm like, man, just let it go for a week. You've been working for 3 straight days doing the TV show.
Absolute chaos would ensue if Deb just came out and said, you know what? I was too tired to do useless information this week, so we're not going to do it.
Absolute chaos for one person.
You know, you think it's
come on,
useless
Greg.
Information. Who really cares? Because this is a fishing show.
It's never a tradition.
Fails. And as soon as we do it, we get a ton of text messages.
Yep.
People love it.
So I haven't
Captain Rob's been doing it for like, you know, 5-6 years.
So we've got to keep up with the tradition.
So Captain Debbie, since I haven't even really talked to you about it, let's talk about what you did while you were down there in the Keys. What did we fish for?
All kinds of new stuff, because every time I go offshore with George, it's an education, and I feel like I'm back to fishing 101, because I don't know anything about the offshore world, and I'm still learning.
Right.
But we did some really cool stuff. So trolling wasn't as productive for mahi as we were hoping.
Okay.
So we
did
ended
you see
up-
the giant line of sargassum, or was that not
no,
available?
No, we did. It appears that the sargassum has broken up. So yeah, there's actually two different types of weed lines out there. So there's like a really, it almost looks like thin, it almost looks like hay.
Yes.
Which George was saying is they call it some kind of eelgrass.
Yes.
He believes that it comes in from Florida Bay.
Yes.
But then there's also the sargassum. So really you are looking for the sargassum.
Offshore.
You're looking for those diving birds. You're looking for the bait fish around the sargassum. You're looking for the flyers, the flying fish.
Yep.
And then, you know, George is really keying in on that cobalt blue water, which we kind of had a hard time finding.
And you had south winds or southeast? Remember?
I think they were south, if I'm remembering correctly.
My experience is south, southeast there is the better winds of fish. It pushes the Gulf Stream in, I think, closer in the weed lines and stuff. But maybe it just started to happen.
Yeah, so then we did some deep dropping, which we're fishing around 500 to 550 feet of water.
Not reeling that
and
up.
We're not using electric reels.
Oh god.
We did not use we were using 3 pounds of lead. And so when I had done the deep dropping with him in the Bahamas when we filmed the show back, you know, a few years ago, there wasn't anywhere near as much current as when we were fishing this past week. And if I'm remembering correctly, I thought George said the current was somewhere over like 2 knots.
Yeah, it would be.
So to associate with bottom and try to feel what was going on was really challenging for me. Now, Diego lives down there. He does that stuff all the time. And of course, George knows his stuff better than anyone too. So, you know, they had a feel for it, but I really had to.
I don't know
why those heavy leads.
If you're 500 feet, I don't want to reel that thing up and down. I'll tell you
but
right
we
now.
We got a couple of those of the blue line tile fish, which, you know, George was saying they basically get down, you know, way down in the bottom in those crevices and they stick their heads out looking for, you know, things that are basically right above the bottom. So you have to be right on the bottom or you're not going to get bit.
Those are good eating.
Yeah, and then Diego ended up, I think he got two of those. And then, and then we did some yellowtail fishing, which I had never done before. Wow. So it was fun for me. But, you know, there's technique to that, too.
Sure.
So, you know, put out the chum bag and let the line out.
Where were you in for
a
yellowtail? How shallow?
About 60 to 70 feet.
Okay.
If I'm remembering correctly, right around 60 to 70 feet fishing the reefs. And then, we went and checked out a couple of wrecks. And
were you using squid, sardine,
permit?
Were you freelining?
For the yellowtail?
Give me a little idea.
For the yellowtail, we were using little glass minnows and small jigs.
Yeah, small jigs is the way to go for sure.
Yeah, we'd put about two little glass minnows down on those jigs and then drop them down. And
those little yellowtail jigs, here's a little heads up for everybody. Those are also fantastic when you need to catch permit and those permit are not on the surface.
Yeah.
Yes. They're one of the best jigs to use.
Yeah. And actually we tried that because what we did and of course you just got to stay tuned for George's show when it comes out this next season on Discovery, but to see the full details and how everything went down, but it was so exciting because, you know, we headed south, we were running out of Cudjoe Key, and then we ended up heading south yesterday, and we got to one of the wrecks and we were throwing some crabs out for permit, and there was just a massive school of permit. And Diego got his, and then I hooked up, and the fish took me right into the wreck.
You got wrecked?
And I got broken off.
Hey,
so,
speaking of which, I think during the golf show, if I'm not mistaken, last week, somebody actually texted or called in and said that, hey, I just saw Captain Debbie on the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Oh, because I mean, I was on another show called Life on the Water.
Okay.
Which I believe is also on Discovery.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken.
She's
it's also on
I know she's
TV,
like she's on national TV. She's like, oh, I think so. You know, maybe. Yeah, you know, all kind of
cash. No, and you know,
Come on. We can toot your horn. You've done probably a half a dozen shows, TV shows.
I'm going to say, no, maybe five. I've done five.
It's likely they get rerun, like, you know,
they do.
Once in a
while. They will re-air them from time to time.
So
yeah,
somebody
absolutely.
Just texted and go, and they were like kind of shocked. I go, I think she's done a bit of that, you know. So anyways, I just thought it passed.
But, you know, it's that's the thing that I love, and also the thing that can be very humbling is when you know, I know what I do every day when I take my clients out there on the water, and I feel confident in the techniques that I use and the lures that I use. But when you go out in a totally different scenario and you're trying to absorb everything, I mean, I love it because that's what our sport is about.
No. I get it. But that's one of the
And it's good to get things. Out of your comfort zone and do those things from time to time.
You have to have courage to go out and do something that you aren't familiar with.
Yeah, because it can be very humbling.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you come out the other end, now you've learned
you're more versatile angler.
More about how to do it and what it's all about. I mean, that's one of your big positives is that you can do that. You'll do that. You jumped into a radio show.
I might make a fool out of myself, which I have done many times on air. Thank you, everyone out there, for bearing with me through a pandemic and a hurricane.
You're way better off than what a lot of people would have done.
Oh, my gosh.
Trust me.
No, and you know what? It's when you're out there with true professionals like Diego and George who are willing to put up with a newbie who is learning all of these things. That's great because the knowledge that those two have is just immense.
Speaking of learning things, you know, this came up just as we were going to talk to Dave. So we got a text this morning and we get this a lot. People going, I want to start. I want to start my kids. How do I start? Do you know what I'm saying? What is the best way to get started? And it's that's such a difficult question to answer, right? Because it depends on what kind of fishing, you know, there's so many different options. And I think what you said, I go, well, it makes the most sense. Go see a Dave Wester at Lear's Economy Tackle or our proud sponsors, Sportsman's Wholesale.
Yep. Yes.
And go and tell them, I want to get started. They'll give you everything you need, right?
Absolutely. Go see Matt at Sportsman's or go see Dave at Lear's, because here's the thing. Even if we tell you something on air, you're right, Rick. It depends if you're freshwater fishing, if you're saltwater fishing. And to be honest, down here, if you're taking the family out fishing or if you're trying to get kids hooked, take them to the pond in your backyard or take them to one of the local parks here. There are a bunch, you know, go up to Lakes Park. You can go to the Estero Community Park here. There's a bunch of lakes. Chase some bluegill, some panfish, some
bass. It depends on how old they are and how much.
But there are a lot of variables. Yeah. So, honestly.
It's just always such an impossible question to answer when somebody texts in and says, how do I get started? It's
you can give people some general guidelines, but it does.
Well, you have to know your customer, you know. Yeah. When somebody says, I want to go have fun and have action, you need to know that, you know, it's the trip is all about their kids. So, sure, you want to go catch 50 fish? We go catch 50 fish. No problem.
Yeah.
But are you trying to catch something cool and special? You want to catch a big red or a snook or a tarpon? That's a different story. You don't take first timers and kids to go do that stuff. You don't take a first timer going for triple tail because they're going to be like, why aren't we just driving around all day? You're like, we're actually fishing. You know, so you have to know your client. And I say if they're 6-7 years old, call your guide or your local person that you enjoy. Tell them what you want to do and just say, I want action for them. Because the most important thing for kids in the beginning is constant action. Constantly having something to do. And if it's not action, you're in big trouble. Even let them play with the bait, that kind of thing. If you catch a big rock, put the rock in a bucket so they can see all the critters that come out of it. Keep them entertained. That's the most important thing.
Kids love playing in the live well. They love playing with bait. They love just looking at things in the water. All right, we got to head off to a break. It's that time. You're listening to Real Talk on ESPN Southwest Florida at ESPNSWFL.com and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app, presented by Sportsman's Wholesale, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the Twisted Fork. We'll be back.
I filled up two shopping carts late last night. One was full of fishing gear, the other Miller Lite.
Check out a lady laughing and said, you think you've got enough? And I said, yeah, you're probably right, and filled another two cars up, don't catch all the fish.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos. You're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida. Everywhere with the ESPN Southwest Florida app.
There she stood in the street.
Good morning and welcome back to Real Talk. This is Captain Debbie Hansen in the studio this morning with my co-host Captain Greg Stamper. Coming up on the 9 a.m. hour of Real Talk Radio. Time is a-flying as per usual. And
I have a question.
Oh, my goodness.
I have a question.
What is your question?
So this morning before I came in, I noticed that there was some fish on ice inside our refrigerator. I'd like to know what kind of fish we have in the refrigerator that I'll be cooking.
So I think it's a mixture. I sort of left the keys in a hurry late yesterday afternoon, as one might imagine, because I had to get back to prep for a radio show.
Oh, yeah.
But I believe that there might be some mutton snapper in there, some yellowtail, yeah,
very nice.
Maybe
okay,
some mahi. I'm not sure.
Oh, you have all. Hey, Rick, you're here tonight, Rick?
Yeah, I am. Well, late. Yeah,
what time?
Probably
getting food delivery.
Really? Well, yeah, I'll roll in probably about 8:30 ish.
I could be close.
That's past. Yeah. That's past well, Greg's bedtime.
Yeah, don't worry about it. A little earlier tomorrow.
Scratch that. Yeah.
That's it's the like, thought that counts, Greg.
That's like that's like about when my eyes start drooping. What? Huh? I gotta go to bed. I'm gone. Good night.
Yeah. Hey, we got a text from Wizard of Oz. He texted in just a little while ago and it said, "Have a great day, everyone. Go Blades!
Go Blades!
Yeah, go Blades, man. That's great. That's great that they're doing so well again.
Really
back to back.
Good for them. Yeah, absolutely. Also want to remind people, I know we were talking about taking kids fishing, getting them outside, and this is actually a saltwater license-free fishing weekend.
Today? This weekend?
Yes, the 3rd and 4th. Nice. So I know the weather isn't really too great. Right now, I think we're expecting some rain.
It'll be on and off, but I'm going to try and hit the golf course, so it's not going to rain that bad.
Yeah, well, today and tomorrow, it's license-free saltwater fishing weekend.
So you know, Greg, just because you have a tee time does not mean you can will the weather to do what you want.
He thinks you can, though.
I think I saw the way he said it. He goes, well, I'm going golfing, so it's not going to rain.
What? I will watch my radar, and I will make a proper decision based on my knowledge of what weather will do.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you I will get it in. And I also guarantee if there is rain, I will know when to go in and hide, and I also will know when to go back out.
You like to push the envelope, though. I'm like the super safety conscious.
You are.
Uber conscious of lightning.
Well, that's the difference between 8 horsepower and having a big
a metal an aluminum boat. Like, thank you. I don't really need to be conducting electricity.
You do it the right way. Yeah. And I wouldn't push the limits with my clients. But you know, I might push the limits a little bit when it's me or a friend of mine or somebody that's, you know, that understands what the situation
or
is.
Or on the golf course.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'll get off the golf course if there's lightning.
Yeah. Why am I having scenes from Caddyshack flashing through
my head, Bill Murray like looking up to down from going, I don't think the real heavy stuff's going to come down for quite a while.
Yeah. Yeah. The guy can barely stand up.
Oh my gosh, that movie is so classic. Yeah. Classic, absolutely classic. So let's talk a little bit about these rains that we've got coming, because yes. I know we talked a little earlier. For me, definitely changes things up on the freshwater side. Anywhere you got those freshwater inflows from drainage pipes, from the weirs, prime opportunities. Yeah. I mean, those fish are going to be staged right outside of those areas. That's where you want to be.
Well, and- for you, let me ask you this then. So, okay, well, going back to months ago, whenever I was in here last, we talked about, so you were fishing like down in the Everglades and going way down there because you said the water was low and you had a lot of fish that,
totally
were,
different
that
now.
Were like piled up in areas where you could really target them easier. So now that we're in, well, the beginning, it's so for us, it just started really raining here, like in Fort Myers Beach and Bonita, and we're getting spotty showers. But it has been raining inland for quite some time, right? Like there's been a lot of storms. So when did that start to fill up? And then in relation to that, when do we start seeing like these levees and these spillways that are, you know, all the way down the 10-mile canal and those areas? When does that happen, and what's going to happen when it does?
Well, I mean, a lot of it just depends on, it varies depending on the canal system, and they control all of the levels of canals through a series of weirs. So it kind of depends on which system you're talking about. But obviously, as we start to get more rain mm-hmm. and they open up those weirs and the water starts flowing over the weirs, the bite really turns on. Now, in the Everglades, it's a completely different scenario because you've got canal systems that are associated with the marshes. And in the rainy season, the water levels come up in the marshes and those fish leave the canal systems and spread way back into the marshes where they're more protected from predators right. and there's more forage. So, yeah, I mean, it's completely different. I stop fishing the Everglades. Basically, it starts to turn off, I would say, the end of May, beginning of June, depending on the amount of rainfall that
it
we have.
Falls.
But
inland,
a lot of times what north. Happens, too, is you got to keep in mind, we start seeing, like, even if we didn't start really seeing any significant rainfall here in like the Estero area until I would say over the past week.
No, I know. Around
prior to that, we would see some clouds and maybe, you know, we'd have some thunder, but the rain was kind of missing us in this area in specific.
Yeah, I agree.
But they were getting it in the Everglades. So just,
and they were getting it inland to the east of 75 yeah. and all the way into like Clewiston, those areas.
Yeah.
I saw they got a lot of rain. And I even saw sometimes where like down there in Jim's area, they got some pretty good rain last month where we had none where we are. So when you start to, I mean, what do you have, like all these secret peeps that tell you when weirs are overflowing around here? Like you got your people who just
no,
tell you
I mean, no, there's some places online that you can look, but I'm not giving all that information away.
This is
sorry.
Isn't this a fishing show where you get quizzed? You quiz all the guests and try and suck all the
well,
information out
you,
of them?
You have to give people enough information so that they
chew
can
the
go
bone.
Do the research, and they know moving forward what to do.
Well,
and part
you.
Of it is you just need to go, and you just need to look and see what's going on, because also—
All right, so I won't ask you when or where.
Oh, my god!
But
gosh.
Now I'm going to ask you more questions. Yeah, this is actually, this whole interviewing
he loves
guest
turning
thing
the table.
Is pretty cool.
This has been a
would
this
you,
has been a thing on this
like
show for
to host the show.
No.
This has been a thing on this show forever. Like, what's how much secrets do you give away? What do you not? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's all how you ask the question, Rick. So here we go.
Okay.
So,
oh,
so yeah. like, let's say I
we
won't
only
tell
got a
anybody.
Couple minutes here, Greg.
Well, we got another hour after
no,
this,
no,
so
no,
we got plenty of time to revisit these questions.
And then we
you
got
can't
Steve
dodge.
Coming up at 9.
So now I'm going to be fishing.
Dodging,
I'm going to be fishing locally, and I'm kind of waiting for some of these weirs and levees to break. But I don't have a lot.
Well,
I don't have a lot of room.
Break. What do you mean
to
break?
Overflow to open whatever it might be? But I don't have a big backpack or nothing, so I need to
after
bring,
a heavy rain, go and look.
What am I going to throw? What am I going to use?
Well, right now, the topwater bite has been on fire.
What's your favorite topwater?
I can tell you that. So for me and the species that I target, I love the Rebel Pop R.
The Rebel Pop R.
Yes, and I actually use the Teeny Pop R because for the peacock bass, even for a lot of the big peacock bass, they're keying in on small baits that are probably in the 1.5 to 2 inch size range.
I see that, Rick. I got the good info out of her. It's the teeny one, not
you
the
did.
Regular.
Yeah. And that's not to say you can't go out there and catch a monster on a big topwater, but sure. The fact of the matter is you're going to get more hits and you are going to get both those smaller fish and the larger fish on the smaller profile
now,
topwaters.
If I'm fishing these top secret areas where water is coming over them, what pound leader? Does it matter if I use leader? Do I like to fish in like the foamy stuff? Do I just fish out in the open? Give me a little idea. Like, what am I doing when I go to these places?
You got the foam is fantastic. You got to, yeah, absolutely. And
what
because
do you mean foam?
You're fishing.
What are you talking about? What do you mean foam? Well, like, is it soap? What is it?
You asked the question, Greg.
When the water comes over the weir at a high rate, foam is created.
Ah.
You will see massive amounts of bubbles and foam, and those fish like to stage on either side. So they won't be in the heavy, heavy, heavy current, but they will be staged in like little eddies and calmer pockets just outside of those heavier currents. So there you go. We got to go to break, Greg.
What?
We got to go to break.
We got another hour.
It's time. All right, you're listening to Real Talk Radio on ESPN Southwest Florida at ESPNSWFL.com and on the ESPN Southwest Florida app presented by Sportsman's Wholesale, Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission, and the Twisted Fork. We'll be back.
Down your fishing pole and meet me at the fishing hole. We may not get about all day, but don't you rush away.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.